Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Coder, episode 45. We're excited to have you join us this morning. Hey, Paula.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
We've got a wonderful lineup this morning, and I know you don't want to spend a long time before we just jump right in. I see several questions we might have time for, so let me just start. Michelle has submitted through our Coffee with the Coder submission form, and, of course, that's at aq-iq.com. or smarter.aqfniq.com, and just go to the Coffee with the Coder link, and here you go. At the bottom of the page, you can put in your question. And Michelle says, how would you help educate a coder when using the code E11.8 would be acceptable in the outpatient setting? She's apparently a CDI. She says, as a CDI, how would I know in the documentation that there is an unspecified condition related to diabetes?
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Michelle, for that question. And it's really interesting because we try to be so specific in coding. And for those of you who don't know, maybe you're not a CDI or a coder, E11.8 is for type 2 diabetes, or if they say unspecified diabetes, they just use the term diabetes. That's our default code, E11. And then the 0.8 says unspecified complication. So it's like, okay, when would I be able to report diabetes with an unspecified complication? Because if the complication wasn't specified, how could you report the fact that it actually existed? So that was kind of the question, and we started digging, and you know, there really was not any specific coding guidance on that code. You know, we looked through Coding Clinic and some other places trying to find some guidance on that code. However, we did find some guidance from some payers. And basically, the only time that the payers directed the use of this code is when the physician states that the patient has diabetes with a complication that is directly related to the diabetes, but he or she does not identify that specific complication. Now, that makes sense to me logically as far as the coding is assigned, but for me specifically, I would, be querying that physician to say, hey, you've identified the fact that the patient had a complication of diabetes, but you did not identify what that specific complication was, and we really need to get more information to get the true severity of illness. Typically, I would think that if the patient had that complication, then he's going to be treating that complication if it impacted that encounter. So there should be some evidence in the chart. So the answer to your question is you can report E11.8, and it is only when the physician states that there is a complication. He just doesn't say what the complication is. And for me as a coder, it's like, I can't stand it. I really want him to give us more information. And the other side of that is I know we have a lot of IRF callers, because let me just came to my brain here, is that, on the IRF side, the physicians, they get a tier diagnosis when there is a complication associated to that diabetes. So from a, protecting your revenue and making sure that you're getting the appropriate revenue, I would still want to query that physician to get the specific complication, not just state that there is one. So, Pam, yes. Next question.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so Carrie has won before. She's a mugging winner, and she has another question. She also used the submission form. And it's kind of a sad situation, but I'm just going to read it the way she said it. She says, this is a very sad situation, but a teenager wrote a suicide note and got her thing of choice ready. She stopped herself and called a suicide hotline, so that's a good piece. Would you code this as suicidal ideation or suicidal attempt, because there's different thoughts regarding how far the patient has to go for it to be considered an attempt.
Okay, so thank you. That's a good question, Carrie. I know we went out and started researching because it was like, oh, okay, well, they actually started the process, planning it, but they didn't actually attempt. So they, even though they got their I guess the chain, I think you had said in your question, ready to do something to themselves. They didn't actually start performing the act. So with that said, I would report the ideation. The definition of ideation says, you know, it's thinking about or planning. And she was still in the process, or the patient was, I'm saying it's a she, but of planning to do it, but had not actually, you know, taken the step to, you know, start to do it. So then that would be an ideation I would report.
Thank you. Now, this question is going to be from an inpatient rehab, and Ramona has sent us an email asking, she says we have a patient who is admitted with a pressure ulcer that was healing, but we didn't have prior staging. The wound care nurse called it unstageable due to not knowing what its worst level was. So how do I code for this? Medicare doesn't give me an unknown option, and the place of this ulcer is the right buttock gluteal fold.
Okay, so there is a ICD-10 code option for unstageable, and that would be what I would report, which is the L89.310, which is pressure ulcer right buttock unstageable. That's what I would report in that situation, Ramona.
Okay, thank you. Now I have another email, and this one's from Susan. And just see what you have to say about this one. I was always taught that radiculopathy should not pair with SCI because it was a nerve root issue. Do you agree?
Yeah, and Susan is also calling from an IRF, and she and I actually talked about this case because I do agree with that. And her question, SCI is spinal cord injury, for those of you who are not in IRF. So she's saying that she was taught that if a patient has radiculopathy and the physician is saying spinal cord injury, does that conflict? Okay, and so, yes, I do agree with that because radiculopathy means that they have a nerve problem. So unless there is further clarifying documentation to specify that there was a cord issue and that there's deficits associated to that cord issue, then the radiculopathy itself would be guided more towards a neuro impairment group. And I know she didn't ask the question about impairment group, but I know that's what Susan was thinking, is like, okay, which impairment group do I put this patient in? Do I put them in a spinal cord impairment, or do I put them into a nerve impairment? A neuro. And so in this case, if the physician is documenting radiculopathy and not clearly defining that there are cord, that there's a cord issue, you know, you would expect to see a myelopathy and you would expect to see deficits associated to that cord injury or diagnosis. So that said, I would go with neuro. And yes, radiculopathy does not mean cord. So I know I've said it 5 different times, but that's one of those questions that comes over and over again. So, okay, Pam, we're getting a lot of questions today. This is exciting.
Yay, I'm excited. Yes. Okay, so I have another submission, and this is from Nancy. Nancy says, I'm looking for the correct CPT code for open, deep excision of inguinal lymph nodes.
Okay, awesome, Nancy. The question that that you ask, and actually we went out and did some digging, which I'm sure you did as well, there was some discussion online between, you know, people in different boards posting and Q&A forums posting. And I think the question was, should it be 38500 or 38999? However, as we kind of dug a little deeper and went to our resource, the only clarification that we could find, because there is no specific code that says it like you've described it in the code, so an excision, deep excision of an inguinal lymph node, and we're talking about CPT, so this is an outpatient question. It could be on the physician side or the facility side. So CPT assistant back in 2009 had a question that was posed very similar to your question, and their question was, what is the most appropriate code to report a simple deep lymph node excision of the inguinal area, not a radical lymphadenectomy? And so the answer that was posed was, from a CPT coding perspective, code 38760, which is neither one of the codes that were out on those other forums. And so that's why you want to make sure that you go to a vetted resource, not just looking at the forums. The forums are great, but don't just go with the forum if they don't give you, you know, chapter and verse of why the answer is what it is. So Coding Clinic says code 38760, which is inguinofemoral lymphadenectomy, superficial, including Cloquet's node, which is a separate procedure, represents a procedure for a superficial dissection of the inguinal lymph node, that's the groin nodes, and is commonly performed for malignancy. So this is provided, nothing further was performed. So that was Coding Clinic's response to the question that was very similar to yours. So hopefully that's helpful for you. Pam?
Thank you. Thank you. And it's 10:20, so let's get a winner. Okay.
Hey, Pam, go. Before you get a winner, go ahead and shuffle those around, and because we mentioned only in the pre-call, and I want to let everyone on the call know that we are opening the opportunity to join Revenue Warriors this week. It will be a limited opportunity, and Revenue Warriors is a supportive community of folks. There's some mentoring involved to help you to have the support that you don't get in your own organizations, you know, related to anything revenue cycle. If there's coding questions, if there's billing questions, if there's these just weird, quirky legal questions that come off that we want to have the answers to, then we have a supportive community to help and to help you look good in your own organization, basically. That was my goal to, because oftentimes I'm in organizations doing auditing and training, and they're like, well, I just don't get the help I need, and I have all these questions, and so that's why we created it. So that opportunity, be on the lookout in your email box or on Facebook or LinkedIn, that we will be opening that opportunity because we'd love to have you as part of our group. And now, Pam, you can do the giveaway.
Okay, thank you. So who's going to get mugged today? It's going to be Ramona. So congratulations, Ramona. I'll be reaching out to you to get an address. Thank you all for being with us, and look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks, which will be September 10th, for episode 46.